It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security.
Welcome to America Out Loud Talk Radio Network and to the National Security Hour. I'm your host for this evening, Ed Hoagland. I'll be hosting a regular broadcast every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the AmericanOutLoud.com and the National Security Hour. The AmericanOutLoud.com is a website. It's amazing, and it has a conglomeration of incredible articles, news, facts, and links to information, and a litany of excellent shows and podcasts. Once you go to the site, go to the upper bar, and you'll see drop-downs for shows. Under shows, you'll find a National Security Hour. And if you also look under the schedule tab, you'll see a listing of several shows that are broadcast every day. It's a fantastic lineup. Well, happy Valentine's Day to all our listeners. I think you'll find tonight's broadcast that you'll find how I show the love and feel the love for our nation and why I'm here on American Out Loud Radio Network. Let me say up front, I'm not here to feed any preconceived notions or ideas. I'm here to tell you what you need to hear, not what you may wish to hear. I will go outside the fog of the daily chaos to give you a strategic perspective on national security issues and speak truth to power to advance the power of we, the people, so we together can best ensure the resilience and security of our republic. Again, my focus is going to be more strategic. And so while I'll take a look at sometimes at specific things going on in the near term, what I'll try to do during this hour each week is give you a broader strategic perspective on how we address and fix, repair our national security apparatus, and give you background and insights from real life experience on how that apparatus works or doesn't work, and how we can best advance that to ensure the resilience and security of our nation. I'll give you unique insight into that national security apparatus out of our nation, insight that you'll not hear anywhere else. I'll give you insights on how best it operates, its values, its issues, as I said. My intent is to make you feel uncomfortable to some extent. Well, why is that? Because in today's world, if you feel comfortable, you are not challenging yourself or others. And in my opinion, given the state of our nation at this time, you are too complacent and likely then too compliant. This National Security Hour is not a feel-good hour. It's a wake-up call, a call for action. It's an opportunity to see reality and speak truth to power and address the issues you'll never hear on other media forums. The focus of each hour I spend with you is to challenge you and others. Whether you agree or disagree with my opinions, analysis, or assessment is irrelevant. I'm not here to tell you how to think, what to say, or what to do. We already have the extreme left looking to do that. And that's the difference between true conservatives and Americans and extremists, those who believe in the Constitution, believe in the freedom of the individual in accordance with the laws of our nation. Those on the left, however, feel it is their prerogative to tell you how to live, how to think, how to breathe. And to this point, you'll never hear, for the most part, true conservatives tell you what to do, how to do it, or what to think. But they'll lay out the facts, the information, and let you discern that for yourselves. So again, that's why it doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree with my opinions, analysis, or assessment. What matters is that you understand the ongoing cognitive war the cognitive domain, and importantly, think for yourself. I'll ask each listener to always maintain integrity and do the right thing. It's never easy, but it's always the right thing to do. So let's begin. In my last discussion, I covered the weaponization of national security apparatus against we the people and how it is the existential threat to our republic, freedoms, and opportunities. Tonight on the National Security Hour, I will answer the question, what can Congress do to better protect whistleblowers, to get more people to come forward to highlight the fraud, waste, and abuse in our national security apparatus? This is critically important as we see the importance of true whistleblowers in the ongoing congressional hearings on weaponization of national security, where we see the efforts of several federal elements coming to the fore and their minions in Congress looking to cover up all their fraudulent, abusive actions as if it was nothing. Let me tell you up front, the issue at hand is that whistleblowers today are really not protected. If so, it's minimal. The perfect depiction of today's whistleblowers is captured by an older comic strip, which you may be familiar with, The Far Side by Gary Larson. You've seen the one where the two deer are standing side by side. One deer has a set of concentric circles on his chest, you know, like a target. And the other one states, hell of a birthmark, hell. Well, that deer with the birthmark of a target is today's whistleblower, based on protections and such. Now, I'm talking about legitimate whistleblowers. I'm not talking about the false whistleblowers who come forward with political motivation to undermine an organization or institution, much like, in my opinion, a Lieutenant Colonel Vindman did, who came forth and he was upset because the president didn't use his talking points. He was used as a pawn by the same propaganda people who pushed the Russian collusion story. He was used as a pawn to support two different impeachments, and I'll come back to this later, but lest I address those legitimate whistleblowers, when they come out to report fraud, waste, and abuse, basically are putting the target on themselves without any substance and protection. What they really are looking at is the loss of their career and their job in doing so. And they must realize that. And we've seen this from the Fast and Furious case and other whistleblower cases where people have come out and basically the organization, the bureaucracy has crushed them. They often lose their national security clearances if they had them, removed from their position, placed in a limbo status, more like a personal purgatory or life of hell that they must endure for the duration of their efforts. Now, how do I know? I'll give you my own perspective and experience as a whistleblower. And also from my first position as the first Assistant Inspector General for Inspections for the Intelligence Community Inspector General's Office. I chaired a committee of AIGs for inspection from across that national security apparatus that included all the three-letter agencies, CIA, NGA, DIA, FBI, et cetera, but also all the departmental assistant inspector generals for inspection for Homeland Security, Energy, State, Department of Justice, and others. So let me start with some basic background for those who are unaware of what inspector generals do and how whistleblowers are handled. So I'll briefly cover what is an inspector general? What does it do in its divisions? I'll also talk about what is the CIGI, the Council of Inspectors Generals on Integrity and Efficiency, the CIGI, their oversight role, and the operative word, what they're supposed to ensure, the integrity and efficacy of IGs. I'll talk about what are some examples of a whistleblower. I'll use my own case as one example, but I'll also touch on some of the current testimony taking place with the Committee on Weaponization of National Security and the farce of being able to actually protect whistleblowers. And I close with what must be done to fix the Whistleblower Protection Act and protect true whistleblowers. Let me start with what's an IG? What's an Inspector General? The Inspector General Act of 1978 provided for statutory inspector generals in the departments, energy, state, et cetera, to conduct and supervise audits and investigations relating to the programs and operations in their organization, to promote the economy, efficiency, and effectiveness in administration of those organizations, and to prevent and detect fraud and abuse, and to provide a means for keeping the head of the establishment, the head of the organization, and Congress fully and currently informed about problems and deficiencies. Well, the intelligence community did not have a statutory inspector general until 2010, when the Intelligence Authorization Act of 2010 created the inspector general of the intelligence community. Before that, it was the ODNI, Office of Director of National Intelligence Inspector General's Office, but it was not statutory. But let me talk a little bit about the Office of the Inspector General for the intelligence community, or the Intelligence Community Inspector General's Office. It has an audit division, which conducts financial and performance audits of the intelligence community and Office of the Director. It has an investigations element, which investigates allegations and violations of criminal and civil laws and administrative regulations arising from the conduct of the intelligence community, the Office of Director of National Intelligence Employees and Contractors. The Investigations Division has a unique authority to investigate matters related to DNI programs, activities across the intelligence community, et cetera. It also has an Inspections and Evaluations Division, the one that I headed up as the first AIG for inspections. The Inspections and Evaluations Division mission is to conduct oversight activities and programs within the DNI's responsibility and authority. It provides the ICIG with an alternative to traditional audit and investigative disciplines to assess ODNI and intelligence community programs and activities. And it has several more other elements as part of that organization. The Senate confirms all statutory inspector generals. And so it's very important, if you haven't looked at it, to go to odni.gov, look at the inspector general, and you see a litany of this disinformation here. The policy for the intelligence community is that they're committed to providing its personnel the means to report violations of the law, rule or regulations, gross mismanagement, gross waste of funds, and abuse of authority or substantial or specific danger to public health or safety through protected disclosures. So that's what basically inspector generals do. Now let's talk quickly about the role of the Council of Inspector Generals on Integrity and Efficiency. What role does this have? And what doesn't Congress know that undermines the whole institution? This oversight element is supposed to be, again, operative verb, supposed to ensure the integrity and efficacy of inspector generals. But how IGs are nominated and selected is not very well known. So when I was a whistleblower and I went through this process, I found out that basically any person can self-nominate themselves to be an inspector general. They fill out some forms, there's very little vetting, and it's a very subjective, politicized sort of process, an inside ball game process, in which the city then so-called vets these people. But in my opinion, it's more of a self-protection group of people to self-protect their own. As I said, how did I find this out? Because I was a whistleblower. And when I asked these questions, given the lack of independence I saw across the inspector generals, and in several cases, outright corruption by an IG. For example, the case of Charles Edwards, former acting inspector general for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, which was occurring at the same time I was going through my whistleblower efforts. We found out that IGs can indeed be very corrupt. We've seen that they have no independence, as Barack Obama took an unprecedented action to fire an inspector general. And so there's many issues with the SIGI that need to be taken a look at it, how independent they truly are. So I'll come back to the SIGI in just a minute. But before we go on break, I want to let you know again, how can you listen to my show? Well, it plays Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the American Out Loud Radio Network. It's heard on iHeartRadio, our world-class media player, and awesome applications on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Those links can be found on the homepage of AmericaOutLoud.com. So returning in a second, I'll pick up where I left off here, discussing the Sigi, and we'll move on from there.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited-time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Oh, the America many of us grew up with and love is under a relentless and pernicious siege from those carrying the banners of socialism, communism, Marxism. AmericaOutLoud.com is the antidote to these poison isms. Well, to be forewarned is to be forearmed, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to the National Security Hour. I'm your host this evening, Ed Hoglund. You're on America Out Loud Talk Radio, which plays on iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen to our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class applications on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on the podcast on those same applications. Just go to AmericaOutLoud.com and get the details. So let me pick up where I left off on the CIGI, the Council of Inspector General on Integrity and Efficiency. It's an independent entity established within the executive branch to address the integrity, economy, and effectiveness issues that transcend the individual government agencies and aid in the establishment of a professional, well-trained, and highly skilled workforce in the offices of the inspectors general. But as I said, based on my own experience and how this organization works, it's like a self-licking ice cream cone. a revolving door for wannabe inspector generals that can be at times very politicized and therefore abused, in my opinion. And so in the last segment today, I'll talk about what we can do to actually fix the inspector generals and fix and protect whistleblowers. But let me go on to some other elements here to give you some background and some examples of whistleblowers and why they're targets. In broad terms, as defined by the ICIG, the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community website, it states lawful whistleblowing is the process through which an individual provides the right information to the right people by protecting national security equities and avoiding unauthorized disclosure. There's an Intelligence Community Directive, ICD 120, and on the DNI website, IC Whistleblower Protection. It's the IC's policy regarding whistleblower and states. It defines the whistleblower as the term protected disclosure is defined as a disclosure of information by an employee to a supervisor in the employee's direct chain of command up to and including the head of the employee agency to the inspector general of the employee agency or employing intelligence community element to the director of national intelligence, to the ICIG, or to Congressional Intelligence Committee or a member of Congressional Intelligence Committee consistent with the procedures as described by Congress in the Intelligence Community Whistleblower Protection Act of 1998. There are specific protections for federal employees, federal contractors, and military personnel who engage in lawful whistleblowing. These protections ensure whistleblowers are protected from reprisal. The protections can be found in Presidential Policy Directive 19, Intelligence Community Directive 120, as I stated, and in federal law. But is that really the case? And in my experience, my contention, that's not the case. What does this mean in reality? Well, not much. And let me give you a few examples. So as I sat in the Office of Director of National Intelligence, Inspector General's office, I found there were some major issues with the management of that organization. I raised those up the chain to the DNI at the time. I also raised it through various sources, through the protected means to House and Senate congressional committees. I provided written testimony on that individual in the office, on what was happening and other aspects. Once I called for incoming help to take a look at the situation, my life became a life of hell and in purgatory. My phones, my computer, and everything which can be monitored under intelligence community policies were thus monitored, but not for potential counterintelligence or other issues, but for ways to take retribution against me, to preclude me from being a whistleblower, to stop me from potentially testifying or providing testimony to Congress, to find some ways or means by which they could undercut my credibility or what I was reporting. So I was told to sit on a block of ice during what was almost a year's worth of time. In this time, the individual who was the head of the office of the ODNIIT was nominated to be the head, the Inspector General for the Department of Homeland Security. I provided written testimony regarding that individual. And the Judiciary Committee at the time, a Democratic-controlled Judiciary Committee run by Joe Lieberman, Senator Joe Lieberman, with ranking member Susan Collins, is where my written testimony was put forth. Senator Susan Collins, I have to give her great credit for bringing forth my written testimony at the time. But basically, based on that written testimony, it tanked that nomination. So from politically from a political point of view, I became a target. I was already a target because I was a whistleblower. Now, this effort did receive some congressional support and a limited amount of protection, but not much. As I said, my files, my calls, my computers are all monitored. They're looking for any excuse to cover up the failings and dysfunctionality of the office. I lived in a purgatory living hell for 7 months. But that finally ended, the nomination was tanked. A new Intelligence Community Inspector General was also nominated for the first statutory ICIG. And that individual was put into place. Several months into that individual's tenure, my inspectors came forth to me and identified that the ICIG and the DNI were looking to fix the results of an inspection we had. And when I called out the ICIG to provide a written understanding of if in fact that was true or not, I found out that Friday that I'd had a new position in the DNI starting the next Monday. So much for an independent inspector general. I became a liability, so they had to get rid of me, and they did. And so understanding how the game worked and then being the first AIG for inspections, I pushed the envelope to ensure the integrity of the office and to uphold the integrity of the office. But it was undermined from above because there is no such thing as an independent inspector general. And I'm proof living positive of that. Now today, and recently in congressional hearings on the committee to look at weaponization and security, we see a number of whistleblowers coming out. And it's very concerning. It's very disturbing to me as a former whistleblower, because these individuals are putting their careers on the line. They'll probably lose their jobs. They'll probably lose their clearances. They'll probably receive massive retribution. But yet, there'll be no consequences for the leadership, their management, or others who take such retribution, because the Whistleblower Protection Act means little. It's a piece of paper that's, for the most part, garbage. Now, let me give you some more recent examples. So there are a couple of different papers, Epoch Times, Washington Times, the report, do great reporting on what's being done on the Hill and helping to get the information out to the public. One example is the FBI told the Epoch Times that the internally distributed field office product about racially or ethnically motivated violent extremism, which was leaked by a whistleblower, labeling so-called radical traditional Catholics as racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists. The Bureau told the Times that this did not meet their exacting standards. Really? I look at more as covering your ass. The FBI press office stated the FBI is committed to sound analytic tradecraft and to investigating and preventing acts of violence, etc. But this document permeated throughout the FBI, and then they went back and said, well, they tried to get a hold of it and stop its spread. A reporter from a former FBI special agent, Kyle Serp, I hope I pronounced it, Serfin, himself a whistleblower, was suspended by the Bureau in June of 2022. He obtained a document from an FBI whistleblower that stated the following: the FBI's Richmond division would like to protect Virginians from the threat of white supremacy, which it believes it has found home within Catholics. An intelligence analyst within the Richmond field office, the FBI, released a new finished intelligence product dated January 23rd, 2023, on the racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists and their interest in radical traditional Catholics. So here's a whistleblower saying, because you're Catholic and you believe in the Constitution, you're radical extremists. A Republican senator testifying before the 9 February House panel described in great detail the investigations he undertook on influence peddling business of President Joe Biden, his son Hunter, his brother James, and other elements, and how they were repeatedly misled and subverted and manipulated by the Department of Justice and FBI officials. Senator Grassley, who I've talked about before, is a champion of trying to find the truth, said that DOJ and FBI officials told the news media and Congress that claims of corrupt business dealings with foreign interests by the family members, Biden family members, were disinformation. Well, in fact, we know that not to be the case based on what's come out in Hunter Biden's laptop, which has now been validated by multiple sources, including the propaganda whores at the New York Times and Washington Post, who originally called it disinformation to try to cover up. We also know about the big guy and Mr. 10% involvement in those dealings. All that was covered up. What's also been covered up is the fact that a lot of Americans don't know this, is that their reporting requirements for lobbying and engagement with foreign governments. That's why Paul Manafort went to jail, if you remember. Persecuted, prosecuted, went to jail. But there's also foreign reporting requirements for those people who have access to intel, like, for example, Senator, Vice President, or President Biden. So the key question that remains outstanding here is, did President Biden, did Vice President Biden, did Senator Biden report these contacts as 10%? All those are felonies, potential felonies. Grassley continued in telling the subcommittee that access to FBI evidence regarding Biden family business connections was tightly restricted, and that the Washington field office improperly ordered information to be closed and held. Well, this is what happens in the executive departments. They push off the legislative branch of government, tell them to go pound sand, and they hide the information, in many cases destroy or delete it, as we saw with a number of former people, including former Secretary of State. Another whistleblower came forward and told the House committee that the FBI had created a threat tag for parents voicing their concerns at school board meetings, a threat tag for parents voicing their concerns about their children being indoctrinated. They were labeled as domestic terrorists. And how did this come about? Well, through either investigation or another whistleblower in September of 2021, in a letter to President Biden, the National School Boards Association, the teachers, right, characterized disruptions at school board meetings across the nation as a form of domestic terrorism and hate crime. So here are people expressing their First Amendment rights, and they're being labeled as domestic terrorists. It's amazing. A whistleblower report claimed the FBI had manufactured domestic violent extremism events, basically self-created performance metrics. They wanted to up the numbers. The agent was later suspended, but that's just done for political reasons so they can cover it up, in my opinion. In a November report, Republicans said that whistleblowers have described how the FBI leadership is pressuring line agents to reclassify cases as domestic violent extremism. Another whistleblower reported the FBI views the Betsy Ross flag, the original design of the American flag with 13 stars, the Betsy Ross flag, as a terrorist symbol. This is dystopian. This is psychotic. This is tyranny at our doorstep and in under the tent. FBI agent Nicole Parker reported that she resigned. And as I said it up front, if you're a whistleblower, be prepared to lose your job. And so she did. She did the right thing. She resigned so she could testify. And she basically said the Bureau's mission remained the same, but its priorities and governing principles shifted dramatically. The FBI became politically weaponized, starting from the top in Washington, trickling down to its field offices. So from my own personal example, from these examples here, whistleblowers aren't protected. After I was removed from my position, the Senate and House committees knew about this. The staffers knew about this. No one did anything. They could give a rat's. It speaks to Congress's own political motivation in terms of how they handled inspector generals. So when I come back from the break, We'll discuss what must be done to fix the Whistleblower Protection Act and how to protect them. You can find out more about my show and get all the latest podcasts if you go to the menu nav bar at AmericaOutloud.com under our shows or schedule. You'll see the National Security Hour and a slew of other great programs. Follow us, stay engaged, and you'll be in the know. Make sure you go to AmericaOutloud.com for your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. With that, we'll be right back.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared, sea level rise has not been unusual, and extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan. A plan based on real science that responds to the real-world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure. A plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, ICSC-climate.com.
AmericaOutloud.com. If you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought, working hard to earn your trust for 7 incredible years and counting. America Out Loud Talk Radio, the liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I'm Ed Hoglund, your host for today. And I'm going to pick up where I left off in just a minute here and talk about how do we actually fix the Whistleblower Protection Act and protect our whistleblowers. But also talk about, at the same time, how do we actually stop illegitimate or politicized whistleblowers from fraudulent claims? Before I do, let me once again say to make sure to go to AmericaOutloud.com as your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part and share the stories, the article, the podcast, and videos so we can help secure America's future. And that's why I'm on this network. That's why I'm doing this hour, is to help you, the American people, understand what's going on in your national security arena, what's going on with the national security apparatus, how it's functioning, what its ills are, what its successes are, what's going right, what's going wrong. But also to take a look at how we stop the weaponization of national security apparatus against our public and have it focused on addressing concerns related to controlling our adversaries and enemies. It's a challenge. Now, when I was at the Inspector General for the intelligence community, the people there were fantastic. The staff at the DNI was fantastic. And the intelligence community people as a whole are fantastic. The majority of the people in our national security apparatus are truly God-fearing patriots who love this country, who go to work every day, and many who also pay the ultimate sacrifice. They're dedicated people working to do the right thing every day. But what we've seen play out through the years from different whistleblower cases and such is that intelligence can be politicized, intelligence can be weaponized, and it can be abused. But the oversight functions that Congress have, in my opinion, insufficient and inadequate. We saw back with the Church Committee the review of the CIA and other elements in the intelligence community, and they tried to put some fixes in place, including oversight, the Select Committee on Intelligence for the House and Senate to provide oversight. But we've seen through the years how inadequate that is. We also saw evidence from the former director of CIA, John Brennan, where he supposedly spied on Congress himself. As the agency and intelligence community have to provide members of the committee access to classified systems and such so they can review things. But in doing so, there's always the ability to monitor and review things on those systems. But that monitoring and review can also be abused to an extent. And we saw that happen. We saw the Director of National Intelligence, Jim Clapper, lie before Congress on whether the IC was spying on Americans. He knew what he was saying. It's a tough venue to get in front of Congress and remember everything that's on the plate. But he knew what was going on. He later apologized for that, went on an apology spree around the community, talking to every organization about that. But it doesn't take away from what he did. And then we saw the dossier and the lack of adherence to intelligence community directives and standards in terms of reporting, sourcing, and other requirements. And it took the news media, not the intelligence community, to report that that was a fabricated piece of opposition research paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign, is what was reported. Yet the director of CIA, the director of national intelligence, the attorney general, and director of FBI all weighed in as if this was valid, truthful, and in public warned about potential collusion between the Trump administration and Russians, but in private testimony stated that to Congress that they had no such evidence. And that the dossier, we all found out, which I knew a long time ago, was false, was fiction. But it was used to undertake a coup to dismantle an administration. Yet those more than two dozen FBI, DOJ agents and others who were involved, many who committed fraud, felonies, or perjury, were all allowed to resign, leave, or be fired. No jail time. So how is that? The corruption stinks to high heaven. So to get at that type of corruption and to avoid what happened to me and other whistleblowers being removed from the positions summarily. Now, remember, I was in an independent inspector general's office, but I was summarily moved and they used an excuse of some sort of mismanagement, which was a lie. But this happens all the time. So how do we protect whistleblowers? How do we give them a means to speak truth to power, but not yet lose their jobs, lose their careers, lose their clearances, and then lose their faith in government? As it's critically important for our nation as we go forward here, to understand that. And I hope some of you out there pass on this broadcast to members of the Committee on the Oversight of Weaponization of National Security, because it's critical that they understand the nuances that are used to weaponize national security, not only against the public, but against whistleblowers. So what must be done to fix the Whistleblower Protection Acts and how to protect them? Well, there are two categories I'll discuss. There's a legitimate category of whistleblowers, and then in my opinion, there's a false category of whistleblowers. As we also want to stop frivolous lawsuits by proverbial liars or those who are politically motivated without substance and actually protect legitimate whistleblowers. You know, throughout my career, nearly four decades plus in the intelligence community, DOD, military, I saw numerous instances where people would file continually frivolous lawsuits to sue. And because the government didn't want to take the time and money to spend on things, would settle out and pay these people off. There's no retribution. There's no way to hold those people accountable. So we have to address those as well, because those people detract from the real whistleblowers. So let me first talk about the legitimate whistleblowers. So after I was removed and I left the Office of Director of National Intelligence, and I moved on to another government organization, I engaged in some discussions with the Senate Majority Staff Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee about ways to fix the Inspector General. There were a couple good colleagues of mine from the Office of Director of National Intelligence who actually went up to the Hill and worked on the Senate staff. Good people, well-intentioned people. And so what I'm going to tell you is what I told them. How do we fix and provide protection for legitimate whistleblowers? We have to make it personal, and we have to make it financial. And I hope Congress is listening, because you have to change the Whistleblower Protection Act. You have to make it personal and you have to make it financial. Now, what do I mean for that? For those people who take retribution and for those organizations that support and cover up and try to undermine whistleblowers, there needs to be severe financial penalties. It has to be personal and tied to those who are committing the retribution. So if someone's boss, the deputy, or even the head of the agency or organization is involved, there has to be a mechanism by which, if the whistleblower proves correct and shows his retribution, that those people are financially penalized. Well, how can we do that? Well, they could tie it to their pension. They could tie it to their pay. They could put it in law that there's a penalty of X thousands to X hundreds of thousands of dollars in penalty to be paid by the individuals themselves, not the government, not the bureaucracy, but the individuals themselves. The financial penalties can be also exacted from the government organization that covers up and or conducts retribution against the whistleblowers. Now, how can they do this? Well, there's a couple different ways. One, as I mentioned, personal to the people involved. Second is to the organizations themselves in terms of personnel slots, budgetary authority, the total top line of their budget provided by the federal government. So if an organization is supporting the cover-up and retribution against a whistleblower, Congress can eliminate those positions involved. They can eliminate the pay for those positions involved and still impose personal financial penalties. And they can deduct a significant portion of that agency's top line budget until such time they prove that they've fixed, addressed, or resolved those issues. Because without that personal and financial impact, there is no real penalty. Congress can also make it potentially illegal and unlawful or a felony to conduct retribution and such, depending on how far you want to go. So there's multiple ways that Congress can go ahead and up the game on the Whistleblower Protection Act. Now, the same thing can be applied to those who make false accusations or politically motivated whistleblowers, such as, like in my opinion, Lieutenant Colonel Benjamin and the State Department people who came out during the Trump impeachments. If their whistleblower efforts are proved that they're primarily politically motivated or personally motivated because someone didn't use my writing talking points, and I felt hurt because the President of the United States didn't use my talking points, so therefore I'm going to file a whistleblower claim that the President's undermining national security because I, a low-level employee, provided him talking points he didn't feel that were good enough for him to use, is asinine. You know, when I was, and I'll take a sidetrack here for a second, when I was in the intelligence community, I didn't care who was president, Democratic, Republican, Independent, whoever. The job of the intelligence community is to provide the best intelligence, the most truthful, adequate intelligence to the president. The president is elected. We are not. The president is elected and held accountable for his or her actions based on what they do. If the president decides to use intelligence in a different way or a certain way, that's their prerogative, but they then also have to face the consequences of it. But that is not for the bureaucrat staffers, the public servants, the civil servants to decide. They weren't elected, but there's too damn many of them now across the national establishment that think that they can then drive and tell a president and cabinet members how they should run their business, run the government's business, but they weren't elected. So like whistleblowers and those who take retribution, those who put false claims forward should also face financial penalties to include removal from position, deduction in pay, taxing their federal or military pensions, partial or full, and to such an extent to cover the partial or full costs for filing those false or politically motivated accusations. Now, it's going to take some work to figure that out, but that's what Congress is there for. That's what they're up there for, is to help oversight and refine oversight. So get on it. The other element they need to fix is the SIGI. They need to overhaul that organization. They need to set some standards for how IGs put forth their names for consideration, how they're vetted on management capabilities, and get rid of this self-licking ice cream cone, this internal self-licking ice cream cone. And for the IGs, Congress needs to figure out how to fund the IGs independent, fully independent of the organizations they oversee. Because those organizations will try to, along with the administration, adjust their budgets as ways to do a retribution against those people. So besides the whistleblower, the illegitimate ones, they have to focus also on the SIGI and the IGs themselves to make them truly independent and see if they're acting as gotcha IGs looking to terrorize your organization, vice assisted. There's ways to do that overall. So in closing, I'm here every Tuesday night on the National Security Hour to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I will go outside the fog of the daily chaos to give you a strategic perspective on the national security issues and speak truth to power, the power of the people. So we together can ensure the resilience and security of our republic. Thank you all. God bless America. Good night. America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen to our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on the podcast on those same applications. Just go to AmericaOutloud.com to get all the details. Thank you and good night.